Well, if you're happy you're saved, young people, can you say amen? Amen. It's good to see you this morning. Thank you so much for coming. Everyone should have a worksheet. Let me make sure that everyone does. Does everybody have a worksheet? Anybody who does not, Travis will be glad to give you one very, very quickly. Well, I thought we started out with a good revival meeting yesterday morning and afternoon. And I want you to be invited to come tonight to our services here at 6:30 tonight. And if you're not in the choir, but you'd like to be, any of you young people, I'd love to have you come and sing in the choir tonight. We're going to sing the song Until Then. It's a great song. It'd be a great time of just being together. Extreme Makeover, an Inside Job, is what I want to speak to you about this morning. And I want to start out with a little joke about a lady named Jane. Jane, who was taken to hospital for an operation. Well, she was so concerned about that operation, and she was really scared of dying. And so she went to the Lord, and she prayed and said, Lord, is this it? Am I going to die? The Lord said, no, Jane, no. According to my records, you're going to live another 43 years and 12 days. Oh, she was elated. I can live for 40. Oh, wonderful. So she thought to herself, well, I don't really like the way I look on the outside. So while I'm in there having this operation, I think what I'll do is have a complete makeover. And so she decided to do that. And so she went ahead and done that. She had liposuction. She had a tummy tuck, a nose job, a facelift. She even dyed her hair a new color. She was all excited. The surgery was now over, and she's getting ready to go out of the hospital. And so she went out of the hospital and ready to go home, crossing the street to go to her car, and she was hit by a bus and killed. Can you imagine when she stood before the Lord? She stood before the Lord and said, Lord, what happened? You told me I had over 40 years and extra 12 days. What happened? The Lord said, Jane, is that you? I didn't recognize you. Well, we're talking about an internal makeover today. I'm going to talk to you about extreme makeover on the inside job. You know, God's been involved, kids, for a long time in giving extreme makeovers for centuries. But these makeovers are on the inside. Because I'm telling you right now, God is more concerned about the inside of you than the outside. Now, of course, we want the outside to match, but the inside is what is important to God. The prophet Samuel once made a profound observation about God. He said, man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart of man, the inside of man. The eternal makeovers are a lot better and more eternal because they are permanent. A facelift will eventually fall. A tummy tuck will come untucked. All those things you do to try to remove the wrinkles will inevitably not work. You're still going to get wrinkles with external makeovers. But when God transforms you from the inside, it lasts for eternity. You know, these words were written by a man that I'm going to read for you in just a moment in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 14 through 17, who was literally ambushed by God one day on the road to Damascus. Remember this man? He was actually knocked off of his donkey, and suddenly he was changed, but he was changed from the inside. Let's read, if you will, with me, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, starting with verse number 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. These truths apply only to people who have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The most important word in verse number 17 is that word if. Just take a look at that verse one more time. And that little word if. If you are in Christ, you can claim these benefits of extreme makeover. Now, there are four of them that I want to give to you this morning. Makeovers that are really important from the inside out. Number one, Roman numeral number one, I have a new purpose for living. That's found in verse number 15. Just let me direct your attention there. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You have a new purpose. If I ask you this morning, what is your purpose in life? Well, you're going to say, well, I'm going to have to finish school, and then I'm going to have to get me a job, and then I'm going to have to make some money, and I'm going to have to buy a house, I'm going to get a car. As life goes along, you know, we have purposes for living. But is that all we live for? Is that all that we do? Oh, no. Jesus said, when I come into your heart and I come into your life, it's not just you anymore. It's you're living for me and you're living for others. So get this purpose that God wants you to have, a new purpose in life. Is this basically what you're doing just for yourself, or are you living for the Lord? Jesus rescued us from eternal death because of that great love he has for us. And we should then be willing to live for him today. Listen, kids, on the inside is where it happens. I got saved when I was 13 years old. I started preaching when I was 16. God literally changed my heart and my life. I was an athlete. I was a sportsman. I was in all the choirs. I was in everything at school. I was in the Ethan Allen Honor Society. I did everything in the public school. But when God came in at age 13, he changed me. He gave me a fire. He gave me something on the inside. And I understand what I'm preaching this morning, that there's got to be a makeover, not on just the outside, but on the inside. Let God do a work in your heart and life that will change you forever. You start to live for others. You start to live for Christ. You start to live for the church. You start to live for the good things of life. And God will bless you immensely. My wife and I have been so blessed over the years of all these years of living for the Lord. 62 years I've been living for the Lord Jesus. 62 years. And I love it. And there's nothing like it. I want to convince all my men, hey, guys, live for God. Don't live for the world. Live for God. Girls, don't live for the world. Live for God. It'll be a blessing to you. The rest of your life, you'll have plenty of money. You'll have plenty of things. Everybody will bless you. You'll bless others. And all of a sudden, your life is, wow, my life is really a happy life. So oftentimes I come into a school or a group of young people, and everybody looks so sad and everybody looks so unhappy. And I think to myself, man, I was never like that as a kid. I was always happy. I was always enjoying life. You need to just release yourself and say, dear God, change me from the inside out. You rescued me from eternal death. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm not doing that. I'm going to go to heaven when I die. And I thank God for that wonderful truth. His great love sustains me. Number two, I have a new attitude toward others. We find that in verse number 16. And we have a new attitude. Now watch this. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Powerful. When you become a Christian, you start looking at people differently. You don't look at people the same way that you did when you were in sin. For instance, you know, you no longer look at people from a worldly point of view. The world sort of tends to lump people. And you guys know already how this goes. The world lumps people in different categories. For example, some of you would be called rich. Some of you would be called poor. Some would be called smart. Some would be called dumb. Some would be called pretty. Others would be called ugly. Some would be called winners. Others would be called losers. Some would be called fat. Some would be called skinny. Everybody has all these stupid categories of you know, well, he's fat or she's fat or he's ugly or she's ugly. And, you know, U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly. You know, that's the truth. And so people, and they do it all the time. And the world's a mess, isn't it? The world's a mess because we always categorize people. We can't seem to love everybody. Listen, I want you to know, I don't know all of you very well, but I love all of you. I'm so excited about preaching the graduation service this year because I love these four graduates. And I just think they're awesome young people. And I'm excited about that. But I want you to be excited. Get your life totally dedicated to God. Whether it's 13, 14, 15, doesn't matter. Just surrender everything to God. And you watch God work things out in your life. It'll be amazing what God will do. Anyway, God only has two lists. God doesn't have all these other lists that the world has. God has this list. Redeemed people and unredeemed people. That's all that God has. He categorizes you just like that. You're either redeemed or you're not redeemed. Wow. Now, I'll tell you what. He died for all of us, verse 15 says. And I'm not smart enough to know who are the chosen. And you're not either. I don't know who the chosen are. And so my job, your job, is as we look at boys and girls, men and women, Jesus died for everybody. And I don't know who's saved today. I don't even know. I'll be honest. I hope everybody in this whole place is saved. I do. I hope that you are. But you know what? I don't know if you are or not. Only you know that. That's the only person who knows whether you're really saved. If you're happy, if you're saved, wonderful. If you're not, you're going to be miserable. And church will be miserable. And going to school will be miserable. Everything will be miserable. But when you're saved and when you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, it changes your life from the inside out. Don't try to make the outside look like, oh, I'm so good, I'm so spiritual, I'm so righteous. Don't do that. Do it from the inside and let it come out. Internal makeover by our wonderful, wonderful Savior. Phil McGue, back in 1985, wrote a song called In Heaven's Eyes. Listen to the words of this chorus of this song. It was recorded by Sandy Patty later, but the chorus said, in heaven's eyes, there are no losers. In heaven's eyes, no hopeless cause. Only people like you with feelings like me, amazed by the grace we can find in heaven's eyes. Wow, what a thought that is. Number three, I have a new identity in Christ. Verse 17 talks about that. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Those two words, in Christ, are two of the most important words in the entire Bible. That term or its equivalent appears 172 times in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul used it 97 times in his letters. You know, if you're a little confused about how all that works, I was going to bring a Coke bottle. I didn't bring it today in a thing of water, a bucket of water, and take the Coke bottle. And the Coke bottle represents you when you're not saved. It's empty. There's no Coke in it. It's empty. But I take that Coke bottle, and I've used this demonstration a lot of times to young people, and I said, now, you're in Christ, and Christ is in you. How does that work? They sat there and said, I don't know. Well, how it works is like this Coke bottle. It's empty. That Coke bottle represents you. I'm going to take this Coke bottle, I'm going to dip it into that pail of water, and it's going to fill up. Now, is the water in me? Is the water in that Coke bottle? When I push that water, that bottle under the water, it fills up, right? So I'm in the water, and the water's in me. That's exactly how the Holy Spirit of God works. You get yourself in God. You get yourself saturated, sunk under the things of God, and God fills you to the full. That's how it works. There's no magical formula here. I just simply surrender myself to God and say, God, I am now convinced that I want to live for the Lord Jesus. I don't want to die and go to hell, number one. Number two, I don't want to live a life that's filthy and dirty and rotten, cussing and swearing and doping and drinking. I don't want to do none of that stuff. I want to do it right. And you can. You can. I have a new identity. Now, based upon that truth, I want to ask you a very important question. Just who do you think you are? Now, I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but just who do you think you are this morning? Who are you really? How do you, everybody, adults and everybody, how do you see yourself? I'm not being sarcastic, but how do you see yourself? What is your identity? Are you still basing your identity on what you used to be in the old relationship? Or has something changed? There are many roles and relationships in our lives that we determine our identity and even our self-worth. But if you're using any role or relationship other than seeing yourself primarily as a person who is in Christ, then you're setting yourself up for disappointment and failure. Your identity in Christ is the only relationship that will carry you through this entire life. I'm a very positive person. I really am. And I don't like negative stuff. I don't like negative attitudes. I don't like failure. I want to be positive on top of it and successful. So how do I look at myself? I look at myself as I am in Christ. I am somebody. Because I have been born again by the Spirit of God. God took His time to give His life for me. And He wanted me to be saved. And there's a reason He wanted me to be saved. Part of that reason is right here today, speaking to this class of teenagers, trying to help you to see, to become positive, to become thought-provoking, change on the inside, make sure your heart is right. Oh, for out of the heart come the issues of life. So very, very important. What's your identity? The more you learn about who you really are in Christ, the more secure and confident your walk will be in the Lord. When you realize that your life is securely in Christ, you don't have to worry about losing your salvation. I never think about losing salvation. Now, I did as a teenager. I was taught you could lose your salvation. And so at night, sometimes I would think that I was going to die, and I had done some things I shouldn't have done as a teenager, and I lay in my bed and I think, oh God, I should have done that. You could take in my life tonight, and I was afraid of losing salvation. But until I knew my position in Christ, I was sometimes scared about where I was headed. But when I finally got who I was in Christ and what Christ had done for me and how that internal makeover on the inside had happened, it all changed. Everything changed. I quit being a sneak. I quit trying to do little dirty things. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. We all have those problems. Get yourself in tune with God to where you have that inside makeup change. Noah's Ark was a type and a prophecy of Christ. Noah and his family and all the animals, of course, as you know, were safe always in the ark, correct? They were safe from the flood of judgment because they were in the ark. In the same way, when you are in Christ, you are safe from the eternal flood of God's judgment against sin. And ladies and gentlemen, you cannot lose your salvation. Noah might have fallen down in the ark. I suppose maybe he did. But he never fell out of the ark. Never. As you live, as you walk, you may stumble in your Christian life. Now listen to me. You may stumble and you may fall, but you're in Jesus. You're not going to lose salvation. It's like being in the ark. Yeah, I can stumble and fall in the ark, but hey, I'm safe because I'm in the ark. Jesus Christ is your ark. And once you're in Him, it's forever settled. Get your mind to thinking that way. I'm right with God. I'll never fall out of the ark. Number four, I have a new nature. I have a new nature that changes me. Verse number 17 comes here. The old has gone, the new has come. What is the old? I'm glad you asked me. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4. What is the old and what is the new? Let's talk about that real quickly before I'm finished. What time am I supposed to be done? 11:15. Oh, we got time. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, please. That you put off concerning, now listen to what it says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Wow. That you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The truth is, kids, we cannot change ourselves. You can't change yourself. I can't change myself. But God can change us when I surrender to Him. Jesus comes into my heart, my life, at the new birth. He infuses us with a new nature. His divine nature. It is literally a miraculous transformation. And sometimes I don't think people understand it at all. They try to work their way to getting better. You don't work your way to get better. You work your way to surrender. Surrender to God. Surrender to God. God, change me from the inside. I want to be this sweet girl from the inside. I want to be this handsome, strong, debonair young man from the inside. God, change my life. Help me to be that kind of a person. The truth is, I can't change myself. I got to come to God. What changes immediately is your direction. You were headed where? Before you got saved, where were you headed? Help me. Where were you headed? To hell. Right? There's only two places you're going to go. Either heaven or hell. So where were you headed? Before Jesus came in. You were headed to hell. But now that Jesus Christ came in, what did He do? He changes your direction. You're no longer headed for hell. Ooh, that ought to be enough to make you shout. Man, that's awesome. I'm not going to die and go to hell. Burn and burn and burn and suffer. You say, oh, preacher, that's a bunch of hooey. No, it's not. It's a truth. But I'm going to change my direction now because Jesus Christ saved me. I'm going to go to heaven and be with the Lord forever. What a day that's going to be. My God turns me around. What confuses a lot of Christians is that when they become a Christian, they expect they'll never sin again. So when they do, they wonder, am I really saved? I mean, I've preached for a long time. And people are always asking me, I don't know, preacher, if I'm still saved. I said, if you're saved, you're saved. You know, you don't lose salvation. But I sinned. Well, that's the old nature. You don't change, by the way, overnight. It says the old is gone. It means the control of that old nature that was over you is now gone. The sin nature, however, is still present. But it just no longer controls you. Verse 17 says you become a new creation, a new creature in Christ. God chose you to change you. We're in revival here. And I wonder what you're going to do about even tonight, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I would like to encourage every teenager in our church to be at every church service this week. Be to everything you can be. Say, God, Brother Lewis is right. I want to be changed from the inside. I want my heart and life to be right. I don't want to be a fake. And ladies and gentlemen, you know whether you're a fake or not. I knew when I was a fake. And you know it. And I'm asking you, and I appreciate your attention. I appreciate your eyes looking at me. That's so important. It's so important. Because you're saying, preacher, I do. I'm convinced. I want to live like this. I want to live for God. That's great. Because there's no other way, honestly, to live. But you must remember something. You have two natures. And they struggle against each other all the time. Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7 talk about that. The things I want to do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I find myself, I do. And that's where we're at. I like that little song. It's a kid's song. He's still working on me to make me what I want to be. You like that little song? God's still working on you. Be patient. It takes him a while. Our good friend Bill Brown sits here today, and Bill Brown's a fantastic man. Bill Brown grew up in a preacher's home, but got away from the things of God for a while. And Bill knows exactly what I'm preaching is the truth. And he came back to God. Listen, you don't have to ever walk away from God. I got saved at 13. Was I perfect? No way. No way. I was an ornery little cocky ball player, singer, in all the productions at the school, either at an honor society, did all that stuff. Sat on the student council for years, homecoming court. Did I have problems? Oh, yeah. But I had a purpose. I wanted to live for the Lord. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you. Let this be an internal change from the inside. You will struggle, but God wants to use your life. I don't know if you know the story about Pistol Pete Maravich. How many of you remember Pistol Pete Maravich? Anybody here remember him? Nobody. Pistol Pete Maravich was a basketball player. Played basketball for years. But it was a wild and woolly young man. Pistol Pete holds the record in high school for the most points ever scored by anybody. His average college career after high school was amazing. Now, I love sports, and I know you know I love sports. I love basketball. Pistol Pete Maravich had an average scoring of every game of 44 points in college. Wow. That's unheard of. Pistol Pete could go behind his back, between his legs. Up. I mean, he was awesome to watch. If you ever see anything about Pistol Pete Maravich, you got to watch it. It's unbelievable how the man could pass and shoot. It's unreal. 44 points average in college. I think he played for Louisiana State. Is that? I'm not sure. Anyway, that was before there was a three-point line, by the way. Yeah, that's one thing I forgot. He was NBA's first million-dollar man. He's the first man that ever made $1 million. But he spent most of his life as a troubled man, a slave to destructive lifestyle. Some years ago, when talk show, you probably remember the guy by the name of Larry King. Don't necessarily appreciate the man myself, but Larry King was having heart surgery, and Pete Maravich knew him, and I got the letter. Larry King got a letter from Pistol Pete Maravich, and Pistol Pete Maravich got saved. James Dobson led Pistol Pete Maravich to the Lord, and he got saved. And he knew Larry King, and Larry King was his friend, and Larry King had heart surgery. Here's what he wrote. He received this letter from Pistol Pete Maravich and recently appeared on his program. The letter said, Dear Larry, I'm so glad to hear that everything went well for your surgery. I want you to know that God is watching you over you every minute. And even though I know you question that, I also know that one day it will be revealed to you. That's my prayer. My prayer is that you will remain open to God and God will touch your life as he has mine. I once was a disbeliever, Pistol Pete said. When I could not fill my life with basketball, I would simply substitute sex, liquid drugs, material things to feed my internal shell-like appearance. I was never satisfied. I have finally realized after 40 years that Jesus Christ is in me. My life is under new management. He will reveal his truth to you, Larry. Because he lives. He's a wonderful Savior. I have found him. It was signed, your friend, Pete Maravich. Larry King got that letter on a Monday. On the next day, Pistol Pete Maravich died suddenly while playing a pickup basketball game with Dr. James Dobson. Dobson was the one who led him to the Lord. While they were playing basketball, he was only 44 years old. He had a massive heart attack and died on the floor. Wearing a t-shirt that said, "Looking unto Jesus." He finally got that internal makeover. Famous star, worth millions of dollars. Set all kinds of records, but didn't know the Lord. But at the age of 40, trusted the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. And just a few short years later, died suddenly on the basketball floor that he loved. The article says, but Pistol Pete was ready to die. He had become a new creation. His life was under new management. If any person is in Christ, he or she is a new creature. The old has gone. The new has come. And I reflect this too. Hallelujah. That's what I call an extreme makeover. From the inside out.